Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The one thing that happened at halftime was a little bickering, not bickering, but the beef between T. Lou and Braun. That's what happened at halftime. And let's just say, if you were in that locker room, you didn't leave it with more confidence, right? Because am I lying? Because T. Lou calls out Braun, then Braun kind of fires back, like not in a disrespectful way, but then T. Lou walks out and Braun kind of mumbles underneath his breath, like, boo, 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 and you're just like, this is not what we need right now. But it was exactly what we needed in that moment. And that's why, you know, T. Lou, I don't think he'll ever fully get the credit for as good of a coach as he is.
The NBA playoffs are here, and you'll be in hoops heaven betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level. Because new and existing users, all customers, can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. Once you have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Now, I really like the odds on the Sixers. I know it won't be easy, as they are currently down 3-2 against the Hawks, but if they can get past them at plus 550 to win the East, I like it. So basically, $100 earns you $550 for the Sixers to win the East. What's not to love? Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. New users can still get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code ROADTRIPPIN to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free. That's code ROADTRIPPIN, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, 21 and over and present in New Jersey. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only and refund issued at non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See term at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. It may have been a while since the last time you had an excuse to dress up, but whenever that next chance is, make the absolute most of it with Indochino. Indochino offers completely custom-fitted suits, shirts, casual wear, and more at surprisingly affordable prices. Every piece is made to your exact measurements, and you can customize every detail. Choose everything about your suit from the fabric, lapel, monogram, and statement linings. You can create a suit that fits you and your style perfectly. The best part, Indochino suits start at just $399 with all customizations included. Having recently purchased an Indochino suit for a loved one, I chose the online shopping experience, which was efficient and easy, to say the least. The way in which their site is laid out, the customer service in which their staff provides, and the little details like colors and styles that fit together perfectly that didn't catch my eye was exactly what I was looking for. The message I received from my loved one upon seeing their custom suit was more than I could have ever asked for, and I have Indochino to thank. Shop for your next best look or book a virtual style consultation at Indochino.com. Right now, you can get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more by using code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout. That's $50 off a purchase of $399 or more at Indochino.com, promo code ROADTRIPPIN. With summer officially upon us this weekend, I think we can all agree on just how nice those summer nights have us feeling. Personally, for me, the cool breeze, starry skies late at night, birds chirping early in the morning, those chill moments that no matter day or night, a smokeless fire pit from Solo Stove can really just be the cherry on top. I remember so vividly the night spent as a little girl growing up at the river with my family, and every night ended around a campfire with hot dogs, hodgepodges, and of course some s'mores. But waking up every morning hearing my parents complain about the smoke they were covered in from the bonfire, it wasn't the most fun part. Got a solution for you. With a Solo Stove smokeless fire pit, you can experience all the joys of gathering around a fire without the messy cleanup. I recently received the Solo Stove bonfire and sent one my parents' way as well. Side note, it makes the perfect gift for others too. And we cannot stop using it. The efficiency from unboxing to how portable Solo Stove is makes for a hot product, no pun intended, from the jump. But the length of burn, the clean, no ashy or smoke-filled air, and the heat that it generates, it's the perfect addition to make your summer day spent that much better. Truly built to last. No one needs a reason to gather around the fire. Solo Stove just took away any reason not to. And now you can get $10 off when you use promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout. Just go to solostove.com. And remember, you get $10 off when you use promo code ROADTRIPPIN.
This episode is brought to you by Starbucks Triple Shot Energy, extra strength coffee beverage in a can. That Starbucks coffee that you love, ready to drink, offered in classic flavors and now in zero sugar. They have four core flavors, vanilla, dark roast, cafe mocha, which is my personal favorite, and caramel. Are you a caramel or is it caramel? Who knows? They are both zero sugar and dairy free. What gives you energy? Find your Starbucks Triple Shot Energy online or at your local store.
This week's episode of Road Trippin', presented by FanDuel, is a very special and unique episode meant for the times. What time, you ask? This weekend marks the five-year anniversary of the epic 2016 Cavs NBA Championship. We joined Bally Sports play-by-play covering the Cleveland Cavaliers and our dear friend, John Michael, on a journey down memory lane. We hope you enjoy.
Well, first off, I must say it is fantastic to see the three of you again. We have convened today because this week marks the five-year anniversary of the 2016 NBA Championship. Sometimes that title feels like it was decades ago. Other times, it's like we remember it from just yesterday. First off, how are all of you, and how long ago does that championship feel?
Oh, I think it always, for me, it always feels like last year. Because it's like still so fresh. What Channing?
It feels a long, long time ago. To think I only had two and a baby on the way, and then like this pandemic's been forever. It's been like a 3-year, 1 year. But I always keep this thing like right here, just in case, you know, so I keep it close. But like,
you're such a kiss ass. He's wearing an Indians.
I had a Dodgers one on. It's baseball day. I got to do yard work, which is beautiful outside. God's country, Portland, Oregon.
Jay, sure. Mike, do you do your yard work in baseball attire?
I do not. I was about to say, I am going to do yard work right as soon as this is over.
Yard work day, Richard.
My bad.
So, hey, we're going to take a quick look back at the title, everything leading up to it and after it as well. Channing, in a post-championship talk that you had at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse with Kevin Love, you said there was so much going on behind the scenes during Game 7. While it was playing out, there were about 10 other subplots or other stories that were taking place. Can you share any of those stories with us, or just give us a look behind the curtain at some of the things that were going on as that historic Game 7 played its way out?
Well, like, I think what was special about that team is the communication. And so each person had like a designated person that was supposed to talk to that one person. So when Kevin came out the game, James Jones and I were like, and maybe Richard sometimes, depending on where he was only supposed to talk to Kevin. And then when Richard came off, they were like, Channing, go sit next to Richard. And Richard had like 3 5-hour energies, 2 double shots of coffee. I don't know how Richard's heart didn't explode out of his chest. So then Delly doesn't know if he's going to play. Then, you know, Mo Williams, who hadn't played the whole series, and Dante Jones got in the game. So like the bench, if you watch us, everyone is talking, calling out calls like, go there, do this. This is this play. He likes to do this. So like people are doing that. And by the third quarter, I looked at Spiro. I was like, somebody got, I got to go in the back. He was like, you're not going anywhere. And I was like, I can't take it anymore. So when we were
did
down
you really
seven,
say you were going? I gotta go. I feel like you said you had to go. You tried to go in the back during the game.
Because I was so, when you're into it that much, yeah, I was just like, we got down, I think, seven. And I'm like, this is it. This is it for us. And James Jones goes, no, it's not. We're coming back. Shut up. And get here. Boom, boom, boom. So, like, then Mo Williams get in the game. And for 1 second, we thought, what in the F? Like, we were looking like, is he going to foul somebody? Like, what's he? But he came in there, gave us minutes. And we were like, what? This is amazing. Dante Jones, I think, got in a little bit. And then it was just so much up and down for every point, every possession. It's like, I can't explain to people. Like when you play during a regular season, you got those big binoculars, right? Because you're looking. But imagine having those big binoculars, like on a little, a microscope. And you are so locked in to every play, every possession, every call, every timeout. Like, it's exhausting mentally. Like, I've never had that much adrenaline in my life. And I knew I wasn't going to sniff the floor because they were moving too fast for me. They were moving way. I say, listen,
it's so crazy because everyone has, like, the one thing that you'll get from Channing and I is we'll give you the authentic, like, emotion. You know, there's certain people that, like, try and play cool, and I was just so laser focused and so locked in. Me and Channing, like, screw that. I had no idea what was going on, but I will say the up and down, you know, for the, you know, this game has been so dissected. And I remember right before the break, they went on a run. Right before halftime, they went on a run. So it was back and forth. And all of a sudden it's like a 7-point game and we go into halftime. And then, you know, obviously you're in halftime and you're just like, damn, we're down 7, we're on the road. It's like, if they hit 2 consecutive threes, it's 13. You're not coming back against those dudes.
Seven,
right?
So it's like so much.
It did, because there was just like, there's no room for error in those moments. So then we come out and I want to make sure that history remembers our boy the way he needs to be remembered. J.R. Smith comes out and that started that second half and immediately goes on a run of his own, right? He goes on and hits like 8 points. We go from down 7 to up 7. And like, he is outstanding. And I just remember being like, you know, fighting, then being down and just being like, God, what's going on? It's over. Not over is not the right word. It was more of just like, what the hell? Then a sense of doubt is a great way to put it, Channing. Congratulations. Then be going up and being like, we've got this. Oh my God, we're going to win.
Wait a second. Let me ask you something about that with J.R. Smith, because obviously we all lived it, right? But the other day I actually saw a clip where it was just those 3 threes after the half, at the start of the third. So like, there was nothing else to watch. There was nothing else to go on and like have your mind on, but I watched it, and the way in which he took those threes in a Game 7 finals game after being down. Did you guys say anything at halftime?
No, because he did that. No, he did that. It was right after halftime.
So right that's what after, I'm saying. Yeah. But did something happen at halftime where he just came out and was like, you know what? I'm just going to shoot it every time I get it. Because that's exactly what he looked like.
No.
The one thing that happened at halftime was a little not bickering, but the beef between T. Lou and Braun. That's what happened at halftime. And let's just say, if you were in that locker room, you didn't leave it with more confidence, right? Because am I lying? Because T. Lou calls out Braun, then Braun kind of fires back, like not in a disrespectful way, but then T. Lou walks out, and Braun kind of mumbles underneath his breath, like, boo, 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 boo. And you're just like, this is not what we need right now. But it was exactly what we needed in that moment. And that's why, you know, T. Lou, I don't think he'll ever fully get the credit for as good of a coach as he is. But that's where it was just like Channing, to your point, like that up and down emotion of those games where it's like, don't get too high, don't get too low. They say that over a series. Or, I mean, they say that over a season, don't get too high, don't get too low. Then they say it over a series, don't get too high, don't get too low. But to have it happen over the course of a game, That is one of the more difficult things that I think I've ever been a part of.
It took me a full day. So we won. We're still up. We go to Vegas, still up, pass out for that whatever. And then you wake up and you're back up. I didn't cry from the finals until I got to Don Ramon's in Westlake drinking. And that's a true story. I'm sitting there in my hat like.
Did you really?
Oh, with the big margarita, looking at the thing, looking at us at the little mini parade coming off the plane, like tears. And my wife's like, sip up, Channing, sip up.
John, my God. Since we weren't fortunate enough to be a part of the select crew that got to go to Vegas, we got kicked off that plane.
How did you miss
that? So freaking hard and fast. And okay, you have a really good story about Vegas with your wife.
Well, it was three planes that went back. Usually, for those who aren't familiar, we all travel in the same plane, right? Because there were so many people at the finals, they broke it into three planes. So the first plane that went back was friends and family. And that right after the game, they flew home. Okay, the second plane was us, Allie, was me, secondary folks, right? They told us that our plane was delayed. So they sent us to a Holiday Inn in San Francisco by the airport, which we stayed at until like 5 a.m, right? So I called.
You were also with like coaches' wives.
Yeah, my wife.
Wives.
Front office people.
Yep. Right.
So we got stuck there till 5 a.m. until our flight crew was ready to go. Which happened to be about the third plane was you guys directly to Vegas, right? So by the time you guys were finishing up in Vegas, we were still sitting around at the Holiday Inn, right? So our planes ended up arriving home almost at the same time. So when you did what you saw, Channing, you guys coming off the plane was almost when we came off the plane, right? So when I got home, you know, obviously in social media, everybody was following you guys in Vegas and seeing all the celebrations.
Oh, God.
Meanwhile, I told my wife, sorry, honey, we got stuck at this Holiday Inn. We were. So when I get home, there are people there, my family, way to go. This is awesome celebration. My wife is icy. I'm like, what? Like, what's going on? Hour later, she goes, so how was Vegas? I was like, I knew it. I'm like, no.
She really thought there was a She thought that you had gone to Vegas, but it wasn't that you'd went to Vegas. She thought you'd lied about going.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, you can call Allie right now because I swear to God, Allie and I were on the same plane. There were three planes, wasn't it?
Oh, it's so funny. Like,
that hotel six, I would have crushed that mini bar. I would have been like, keep this open, keep it open.
That hotel six, are you serious?
What was it called?
You can at least give us a Holiday Inn.
A motel six.
No, it's
funny. Like, Channing, you talk about crying at the thing. Like, for me, and I know a lot of people have it, like, just kind of the envision. Like, what would you do if you won? What would you do if you won? And, like, some of the emotion is, like, is raw and unexpected. Like, to see Kevin and to see like Bron hugging each other, and it's just like you're on the court and the first thing you do is you grab somebody hug. It was so weird because I had always envisioned over the, when it starts to become a reality of like, what would you do if you won and blah, blah, and I was like, dude, I would just probably freeze and just probably start bawling. And it was funny because I was on the court when Kyrie hit the shot. And then I was subbed because we knew what play they were going to run last. We knew what play they were going to run last. So we put that group in there and that's what subbed me out. So that is what put me on the bench. It was only because of that situation. So it was like, even how I envisioned it, like I envisioned in my mind, I would just sit down and just have a moment, right? Just like whatever. But then the way like the substitutions and everything went, I ended up being on the bench in that moment. So it made it very, very surreal just because it's like, you know, and we've talked about it, you know, I've talked about it a ton. It's like, dude, I'd lost in 2 NBA finals, a national championship, an Olympics. Like I'd been so close so many times.
Damn, loser.
Yeah, I'm such a loser. But I was just like, it was like the biggest weight, not just off like my NBA short career, but like off your whole sports career. I hadn't won anything since a state championship and, you know, Channing has one of those.
They were 4A, not even 5A.
They don't know what that means, Channing.
When was the moment, though, Richard? Was it right there on the floor when that final horn sounded? Was it locker room, or was it hours later, like Channing's situation?
No, mine was that in that moment. In that bit, like, I did not move probably for 90 seconds. Like, as soon, like, you, somebody sees Dante Jones sprinting across the floor. People think I just a bald-headed light-skinned guy, but that was Dante Jones. That wasn't me. I did not move. I just
Richard went full crybaby face. Like,
oh, I was done. Yes, yes, yes.
It wasn't pretty. Please,
it was not pretty. I was like crying so ugly. Like, I'm glad there's footage of it so I can see what my ugly cry looks like. No, because it's like, dude, we worked so hard and everyone worked so hard. And like, I hadn't been to a finals like 13 years. There was 13 years in between like my first, my second final and then my third one. So it was like, I don't have another 13 years. So then to be down 3-1 and then to have all of the emotions that go behind the comeback, it was exhausting. But that's part of the reason why I tried to retire after the game. I was like, I can't do this again. I can't do this. I can't keep drinking 5-hour energy.
Yeah, and then you made the entire city of Cleveland beg for you to come back at the little pep rally. I was like, oh, God, them. Here he goes.
I didn't make them. They chose that. They chose that. Hearing Little Rich say, one more year, and not even knowing what he was talking about is still one of the funniest things, because that's all he chanted at the parade the whole time, that whole 5-hour parade.
Oh, God.
You know what's interesting? You mentioned being down. We'll talk about the parade in a minute, but you mentioned being down 3-1. You guys lose a winnable game 4 in Cleveland to go down 3-1, right? You get on the plane knowing you need to win 3 straight, 2 in a place where the Warriors have been a combined 50-3, regular season and playoffs, all right? Yeah, it seemed, at least to me on the plane, Al, you tell me if you agree with this, there was an authentic confidence, not a rah-rah or a contrived, we're going to go out there and get them, guys, but a true confidence that you were going to get this done. Is that how you guys felt? And if so, what was the reason for that kind of confidence?
Oh, I think it was just different. What? I'll say that about you guys. I thought it was so different. It was like silent. It was different. Yeah. Like, it was silent. There was nothing from our back of the plane, obviously, with you guys, like watching you guys go on and off the plane. We had to look at all of those things coming into the media availabilities leading up to it. I mean, I don't think in the moment we recognized like the viral things that go on now of like Bron and his shirt and the sunglasses. And what Clay said during those times and those moments, we didn't look at it then, how we all like look back now and are like, oh wow, hindsight does see 2020.
Well, everybody was wearing those shirts, Allie. Like,
right. None of us paid attention really to that. None of it. That was a thing. It was more so like the demeanor and the way in which you guys carried yourself like around, and it was silent, but it was different. Like, it just felt like
go ahead, Channing.
I'll say this. The thing about our team was we were really effing smart. And it was never what they were doing. It was the mistakes that we were making. And then when James Jones or LeBron or whoever else was watching film, everybody would watch film and be like, dude, we literally, for instance, one of our teammates, we literally went over, you know, getting to the, and I knew I wasn't going to play, and I knew the thing. You get to the body. When they run that little together screen, you got to push them together so that they don't have a weight. They have to stay around the 3-point line. In the first play of the game, he was off the body. They split cut on that little whatever action and went to the hole. And everybody on the bench was like, he's not ready to play. Get somebody else. You know, like, but like, that's how locked in we were. So our confidence came from if we felt like we had the two best players on the court. Right, no offense to Clay and Steph. We felt like Bron and Kyrie were the two best players on the court and that they couldn't be stopped. And we said, if we get them in an opportunity to be special, they'll take over and do it. We just can't mess up.
Well, and look, I'm not going to, and because I do respect them and I respect Draymond, the Draymond suspension, it was big. It was big. But like, if you watch the postseason, if you'd watch what had been going on and some of the scuffles that he had gotten into, like Draymond was on, thin ice. And so I remember seeing that. Now, if you go back and everyone's going to dissect it, but they were worn down. They were down 3-1 the series before. Playing two back-to-back game sevens against Kevin Durant. We just saw what Kevin Durant did with a messed up Achilles. Imagine how tough he is with a real Achilles fully attached. Like they had to come back from 3-1. They had guys that were injured in the Portland series and the Portland series. So it was like they started to wear down as the series went on. That's really all it was. And when Draymond got out, I literally said it on the plane. I was like, guys, we needed some help and we got some help. Right? Like, look, they still got the two-time MVP. They still got Klay Thompson. They still got the finals MVP and Andre Iguodala. They still got, they still got a ton. Draymond obviously was a big piece, but it took a special game, and Kyrie and Bron put up a special game, but it was a very simple formula. You win one game on the road and those dudes combine for 82. And then you go back, and that's where Cleveland, what they did in game six, I don't think has been done maybe in sports. I don't know how many times you can probably count on one hand, Cleveland fans, what your energy did is unlike anything that really you can put into words. And then game seven, it's anything can happen. So we just wanted to get ourselves to anything could happen. Special game in game five with a little bit of help of Draymond being out. And then really and truly the energy that we got in Cleveland, we knew we weren't going to win. We weren't going to lose game six. We knew we weren't going to lose game six. Just that was a confidence that we walked in there. That was our best single game in 2 years. In my 2 years where we lost in 17 and we won in 16, our best single game where we knew for a fact we were going to win the game was game six, because then it was going to go into game seven and, the rest is history.
Dude, we were making things up just to hate them more, right? We were like, oh, they're complaining about the bus? Man, F that, like that type of hatred, like you could tell, but it helps because we didn't want to give them anything. Like if somebody was going to rob you, you wouldn't be like, well, they may be hungry. You're like, man, I'm about to beat the junk out of these dudes for coming into my house. That was like my vibe with everybody. Like we are like, there is no way on God's green earth, they are going to come in here and beat us. And we were just like, even the guys that knew they weren't going to play were like so locked in to just talking to some. If you were in that corner next to us, Dante Jones was talking reckless. Everybody, the coaches, the trainers, anybody in the front row.
The trainer. When I tell you that the medical staff was so locked in. So game six, I believe that was the Dante Jones game, right? Was that the Dante Jones game where he played really well in game six? Where Dante played 4 minutes, had like 5 points. So look, as trainers, let me give you guys a little insight. As trainers, like they don't like it when young players get on the table. They don't like it when like guys that aren't in the rotation. But Dante Jones is the ultimate professional. And so it's like, he's like, hey, I got to get this worked on. I got to get this worked on. And I'll never forget, after the game, one of the medical staff came up. He was like, that's why you work on everybody. He's like, Dante came in here and I had to work on him for 20 minutes because his hip was a little tight. And this dude hasn't played in 2 months, right? His hip was a little tight. And so, worked on him and worked on him. He's like, that's why you do it. You do it because you don't know. And it was like, that just shows you, like, everybody was, the medical staff was like, dude, screw it. Come on, Dante, let's get you. Let's make sure that your body's right. Because normally it's like, yo, like, if you're not going to play, it's this, like, it's whatever. But that just shows, like, top to bottom. Like players, coaches, medical staff, everybody was like, anything that we can do to put ourselves in a position to be successful, even if that means that we got to go and stretch the 15th man for 15 minutes or 20 minutes when you don't have that type of time because it's so chaotic, you got to do it.
I mean, John Michael, working on the radio with you, one of the most like impactful things that still stands out to me is James Jones. Remember when he took over a huddle in game five? He literally had not played a lick, not like a single minute. And there he is, like running the huddle. And it was
he watched more film than anybody else. Yeah. And that's a fact. More than Braun, more than Kyrie. Like this dude would go to dinner as well, watching film, and it's going over. He's like, Channing, look at this. He says he's done this 3 times. Every time he comes in, he does this. Okay, here, who do I need to talk to? Channing, you go talk to Kevin. We do this. okay, look at this sub. If we sub this guy in for there, then he won't be able to play this. And I'm like, damn. Like, he broke the game down into sections, like what we see initially, what, and then like cause and effect. When Channing comes in, this guy goes in. When Richard comes in, he goes in. So if we play Richard at the beginning, they don't have a sub that matches up with anybody that we're bringing in. And then that guy who used to play 40 minutes now has to play 48 because now he's guarding somebody who is going to play 24, like Richard, who's going to go out there and play balls to the wall. And that's giving Kyrie and Braun a chance to not have the number one defender on them for a portion of the game. And like, to think like that, like, completely changed the, you know, the small rest of my career, but it's why the Suns are good.
Well, guys, yeah. And it's like, you want to talk about how important James Jones was. James Jones is now the GM of the Suns. In 2 years of being the GM of the Suns, he took them from not making the postseason for 10 years to being in the Western Conference Finals. Now, obviously, a lot of things got to go your way, but that just shows you the type of basketball mind that we had supporting us and on our team, mm-hmm. right? Like, it's like, yeah, you have LeBron, you have Kyrie, you have Kevin, you have guys like myself, but like, it was like down the line, the roster, the basketball minds were just, it was so crazy.
The NBA playoffs are here, and you'll be in hoops heaven betting all the action on FanDuel Sportsbook. There are so many exciting matchups, and FanDuel is taking that excitement to another level. Because new and existing users, all customers, can bet risk-free throughout the playoffs. Once you have a FanDuel Sportsbook account, you can bet one same-game parlay risk-free every week. That means you can combine multiple bets for an even bigger win, and if you don't win, you'll get up to $10 back. Now, I really like the odds on the Sixers. I know it won't be easy, as they are currently down 3-2 against the Hawks, but if they can get past them at plus 550 to win the East, I like it. So basically, $100 earns you $550 for the Sixers to win the East. What's not to love? Basketball fans, now is the perfect time to give FanDuel a shot. New users can still get up to $1,000 back if your first bet doesn't win. Just sign up with promo code ROADTRIPPIN to bet the NBA playoffs risk-free. That's code ROADTRIPPIN, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Disclaimer, 21 and over and present in New Jersey. Risk-free bet for first online real money wager only and refund issued at non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Same game parlay refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See term at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile and web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. With summer officially upon us this weekend, I think we can all agree on just how nice those summer nights have us feeling. There is just something so magical about summer evenings, and we have something that can make it that much more enjoyable. Solo Stove Smokeless Fire Pit. Growing up as a little girl, no matter if it was with my family or my friends, every night just seemed to end around a bonfire. And days after, the smell used to follow me anywhere I would go. And I know I'm not the only one who's experienced this before, but luckily for us all, Solo Stove, built to last, has us covered. Now, Solo Stove creates story-worthy moments without the fireside fumes. So it's stainless steel construction designed to regulate airflow and burn more efficiently. Yeah, check. Easy to keep lit, even easier to clean. Check. Having received my Solo Stove fire pit, I can assure you also that it's easy to light with a few bits of a starter. Your fire is blazing in minutes. They're so confident you'll love it, and they offer a lifetime warranty and 30-day free return policy. No one needs a reason to gather around the fire. Solo Stove just took away any reason not to. And now you can get $10 off when you use promo code ROADTRIPPIN at checkout. Just go to solostove.com, and remember, you get $10 off when you use promo code ROADTRIPPIN.
This episode of Road Trippin' is brought to you by Bourbon Time. Even if you don't have a traditional 9-to-5 schedule, there is no denying that this past year has changed the way that work and rest intersect. Without a designated office to come home from, we're missing that natural break in our days. Our friends at Jim Beam recognize this phenomenon and they want to help us out. Beat the burnout and start blocking off the hour of 6 to 7 p.m. as your me time, where you can do what you love for you and only you. And what better way to spend my me time than with my feet up enjoying a nice smooth glass of Jim Beam So let's make the idea of bourbon time a reality. Join me in reclaiming 6 to 7 p.m. as the happiest hour so you can do whatever it is that makes you happy. And if that involves a glass of bourbon, remember to drink Jim Beam responsibly. Jim Beam Kentucky Straight Bourbon Whiskey, 40% alcohol by volume, copyright 2021, James B. Beam Distilling Company, Claremont, Kentucky.
So great to hear you guys talk so glowingly, and I've heard it now for years about the crowd during that game six. I've heard you talk about this a number of times, Richard, and just what they meant to you. And I have a feeling that the magnitude of what you guys did for Cleveland fans has not been lost. I mean, this is a city that hadn't won a title since the 1960s. What stands out the most to you guys about the reaction of the city and the fans during that run, and maybe since then, over the last 5 years, for what you did for the city of Cleveland?
I'll go first. I think it becomes more, it means more now from a standpoint, looking back on it, those moments become even more, obviously the fans, and like me and Channing weren't a part of like all of the history and all that. But I think to go back and hear all the stories of like Father's Day and like all of the things that happened, both of Channing and I have both lost our fathers since then. So like to have them there in that moment, Channing and I can only speak for our experience. Channing and I both had kids in Cleveland while we were, you know, playing there. So our attachment to the city and like having, you know, my son who's named Phoenix, but being born in Cleveland, it's just like, there's a connection that I think forever, not only that team, but just even personally Channing and, you know, myself have because of, just like it was just such a unique moment in time. And to have guys still come up to me and be like, my dad, you know, he was a Cleveland fan and he wasn't with me, but I just broke down because I knew what it meant, or I watched it with my dad on Father's Day. So it was just like there's such a deep emotional connection that goes past winning. Like it was more than winning. That wasn't just it. You know, like, you know, Allie, you know, works in LA now, and she saw the Lakers and the Dodgers, and it's like, oh, the Lakers and the Dodgers won again. Cool. That's awesome. It's about damn time. Well, in Cleveland, it was like a deep seated, like emotional connection that like you don't see often with, you know, fan bases and communities.
I'll just say this. It's just more like, to me, Ohio seems as big as Texas, because every time I'm going through an airport, somebody goes, thanks for 16. And they're like, Channing. And just randomly. And I fly to Atlanta all the time. And it's just like, how many people are from freaking Idaho? Like, Idaho, Ohio. It's just like, you know, when, you know, Richard and I were going to little dive bars, we're going to ZZ Tops and whatever place that is in Westland.
Oh, what was
Dover.
It?
The Dover.
Oh. But like, people got to love see Dover. Us, right? People got to see us. We were out eating restaurants. We were touchable. And I think that made the connection to the city even better. And then even coming back, it was just like being able to retire there was huge. And like Richard said, I had my kid there. And it's just like, there's nothing I will ever bad. I can't say anything bad about Cleveland other than the weather, which everyone knows. And y'all got too many bugs for me. But like Cleveland always has like my heart. As like people, where are your favorite places? Obviously, because I'm from Phoenix and then Cleveland. So for me, it was just like to have that championship and to have something that's a part of history. You know, I still got my key to the city. You know, I think it's June 22nd. That's the whatchamacallit? The
parade.
The parade. So for me, it was just like, dude, looking at these things and getting those emotions is always good, even though it feels like a century ago.
Talking about.
Oh, and by the way, last thing, my birthday's on June 21st. So it was like all one big cluster for me. So it was just like,
sorry, Richard. Good. Happy birthday.
No, today's not my birthday, idiot. I'm just saying, just in What's general. Today? What is today?
Oh, it's the 17th. Okay. My bad.
Yeah.
Richard disappears.
No, I was just more saying that like there was a lot going on.
1.3 million of our closest friends showed up to celebrate that in the parade. Allie, we'll start with you. In the heat, thoughts about that that wonderful day?
Yeah, can I tell you that my morning started at 5 a.m. with a production meeting, because we actually, unlike you, all three of you, J-Mike, you got to ride in the parade as well. We had to work it, but started at 5 a.m.
And I you rode with us the whole time.
No. I did every interview because, God bless the city of Cleveland that we love so much. Obviously, I don't think was expecting the 1.3 million. So there were some things missing that helped, maybe like barricades. Yeah. And so with that said, I stood at the end right before the rally and waited with our dear friend, RIP, Fred McLeod. And by time you guys actually got down to us for us to start our interviews with you guys, as you would drive by, he had to go get ready for the pep rally. So then it ended up being Allie handling all the interviews. And I was fortunate. I interviewed all three of you. I interviewed a horse because we were just trying to waste some time. But I just think like the sheer joy. And I remember saying it after I left, I had a kind of disgusting, a little kid puke Gatorade on me because it was hot. Remember, it was a very long day.
So hot.
A lot of people though, all they felt was genuine joy. Like that was it. Like no matter who you were standing next to, I mean, it's crazy to think about now after the year we just had with COVID, but standing next to strangers, sharing in like one sentiment of joy. It was, I mean, you couldn't write it up any better. Like getting on the car with you guys, Channing telling me on television that was broadcasted nationally for everyone that we pissed excellence. Like I'll never forget that. The pizza. Like you guys did the trophy coming up
but how are the, okay, like people, like Cleveland fans, you know, me and Channing are two very unique individuals. You guys, we definitely helped tell the story of that Cavs team. What are the chances that Channing and I are the only two that got the trophy? The trophy got lost. It was bolted onto a truck and it was supposed to be barricaded. So all of a sudden it took a wrong turn and these guys are like, dude, there's a million people here and we have the NBA trophy up on this thing. So they covered it in the towel and they ran back to the parade and then they look at us and they're like, hey, do you want this? And we're like, yes. So I'm thinking in my head that, oh, it just must be our turn in the parade, like concession or whatever thing it's called, that it's our turn to just hold it. And they were like, no, dude, we got so lost, blah, blah, blah. They were so happy. So for the next 3 hours, Channing and I are the only people that ever got to raise the trophy during the parade. Like, what are the chances of the two dumbest people on the team to have that type of luck? Oh. Is mind blowing.
It fell off of what?
I think
the wrong turn. They were like, oh crap, we have to be with the parade. So this dude is coming.
He took
I'm pretty sure the guy, J-Mike, was Rhett. I think Rhett was like, wait a minute, this trophy, the car went the wrong way. And
was
so
supposed to be on a float, was supposed to be on another float.
It was exposed.
Okay.
And so it was exposed. Like, and when you mean exposed, that meant like there was nothing stopping anybody from jumping off there. They weren't around the rest of the security. They weren't in the line of cars. So he takes the trophy off, covers it up. And to his credit, you should interview him for this. To his credit, he wanted to bring it back. So he went through the mob of people.
God love Rhett, but to his credit, what do you think he was going to run off with it and no one was going to stop
him? Yes. Do you understand? First of all, do you understand that if a mob of people saw the trophy going through the crowd, there's a chance that trophy would have disappeared. I would have tried to steal it. Let me be really honest. If I have an ESPY at my house. When we went to the ESPYs, we won like 5 awards. I still have an ESPY because I wouldn't let go with it. If there was a chance that I thought I could steal the NBA trophy, it would be at my house right now.
Rich is a klepto, ladies and gentlemen.
That wasn't going to go very far, so he knew what he was doing, was my point.
I don't know. You have a mob of a million people that have been drinking in the sun all day. If you weren't going to be able to move. I just thought it was a really, if you saw the terror look on his eye when he handed me that trophy, trust me, you wouldn't feel that way.
Well, it's like you're stranded on a little life raft, and then all of a sudden there's like a small tiny island filled with tigers. You're like, do I hold this or do I give it to Richard and Channing who are obviously been drinking since 6 in the morning.
Oh, and we were so hungover. Because we went from Vegas, we had one night, then we went and did a party. And when I tell you, we didn't go to bed. It was like 6 a.m., 7 a.m. We were coming home when the lights were up. I think we just kept drinking, and like we went to Kevin's and kept. It was just, it's a celebration.
We played then, beer pong with Deli.
Yeah, we went to Deli. We did everything. And then the Deli's neighbors started showing up at his house. It was just it was a week long party that was just, it was this next level.
You guys finding the trophy apparently has been commemorated with this.
Aha! Yes.
This is the championship bobblehead.
I gotta find my bobbleheads.
Issued by the Cavs. Have you guys one of these things? Do you like
it? I have tons of them.
Oh yeah?
I have tons of them. My kids wanted them very, very quickly.
Wait, you have this thing, Richard?
Yes, I have that. That's the floor. Yes, I have that. Channing, I see your Arizona stool, by the way. I'm jealous of that. I'm not gonna lie. I'm jealous of that. Yeah.
I got the other
two.
Do you
like sharing this this bobblehead with Channing, Richard, or?
Well, obviously, you know, J. Mike, I don't. You know, I don't like it. But after a certain point, I just kind of, I came to terms with that my championship is going to always be connected to him, and that him and I, obviously, we're
like you know,
the closest friends. There's no. Yes, you're definitely the poop. I'll be the pee.
I think, oh my God. I think if this was really like putting the end on like that whole time and you create like a bobblehead with just these two guys, like weren't these the two that like won out like the competition, right? Yeah. And if that's how you're going to like capitalize on that champion, I just think it's so funny that COVID happened and they couldn't actually be issued.
We could actually do it.
We're coming back. Kevin and I was talking to Kevin, and we were like, dude, we can't wait till the 10-year reunion. Hey.
I know. I wish there was a 5-year reunion. That would have been a great one. Yeah.
We can make a 6-year reunion and a 10. We could go 6, 8, 10.
Oh, the 10 is going to be a good time.
Oh, hopefully everyone's retired by then.
I don't know. I think there might be still guys still playing. That's 5 more.
Hey, as we close up shop, final thoughts, lasting memories. Let's go around the horn quickly, Allie, or message to the fans here in Cleveland as it's been 5 years now since that 2016 title.
You want to start with me?
Yeah.
Okay. I was kind of prepared for this. I will say, obviously being an Ohio girl born and raised, that time meant so much to me, starting my career there as well. And then just kind of going through that experience. I remember telling people in the business that cover teams, like we are fortunate to on our side, and Rich, you have a hand in that with the Nets right now. It is a different level of experience. You feel very intimate. You feel like you were a part of a team. And I hope that like everyone on that level gets to experience that, because that's just what it is. It's just so awesome. And I have moved 7 times since 2016. And the one thing that goes everywhere with me is the champagne bottle that I took from the locker room that I was not allowed to take. And we all drank it on the airplane at 5 a.m. as we were coming back and you guys were all partying in Vegas. It's disgusting because it literally is the exact bottle. I haven't touched it. I haven't washed it.
Why are we not allowed to take it?
Apparently you were not allowed to take that stuff from the locker room. And there were 2 bottles when I left at the end.
Did you see how many I took? Them.
And I had like 5.
Okay, well, you guys actually played, scored points, and were part of the team. A little different. I take that everywhere with me. It means so much to me. And for someone like myself whose career was propelled from moments and situations like that, and I've moved on, the love that I still feel from Cleveland fans, from Ohio fans, I owe a lot to that 2016 team, that run. And to you guys, Richard and Channing, as part of the team, I mean, you let us inside as broadcasters more than you'll ever know, and how much that meant. Truly, it's special. So, yeah.
I'll go next and let Channing finish. I'm not a big memorabilia guy. Channing and Allie have both been to my house. I don't have like jerseys hanging. I don't have that stuff. And you know, some, I won't say bitterness, but some of it is because I was so close. Like, you know, I wanted all of my stuff to be I have a bronze medal. I have other stuff, but it's just like, I was just never a big memorabilia guy. 90% of the memorabilia that I have over the course of my career that I hold true to my heart now is typically stuff from that era. Like, I have multiple bottles of that champagne that's just not open. I don't even know if it's good anymore, but I have that. I have tons of Always Believe shirts. I have Always Believe hats, and I stored them. Like, such a cool, like for Nike to make that Always Believe. Like, and it was like, I have the shirts that have like, We Believe. I have so much stuff that like is associated with that run and that time. And, you know, it's something that, you know, having my son, little Richard, on my lap during our team picture after Game 7, there's so many things that I hold dear that like that single team, that single moment is all of the sports stuff that I've ever done, opening ceremonies, Final Four, all of that stuff combined doesn't even like come close to what being a part of that team and that city and that comeback, what that meant. And so, you know, like I said, all of my memorabilia that I have that I kind of hold dear is from that moment in time.
Mine's pretty wild. I'm with Richard. I have a lot of stuff that I've carried from a bunch of different teams, but it's all, I was taking the towels. I was like, hey, Lauren, put this in your pocket. Like, I took my jersey off so that nobody could have it. So I actually have the jersey I didn't play in on Game 7, and I gave it to my wife. But it was really still sweaty, which is weird, maybe because of warm-ups.
No, you have a glandular
issue. But if you think about it, I came last. I was only there with that team for 6-7 months. So I wasn't even there a year. So February, March, April, May, June. So I was only there 5 months. It felt like I was there 5 years. So it's wild to see how, like, when things fit, they just fit. And, you know, the Cleveland fans are the best. You know, they don't like everything that we say all the time, but they appreciate us being honest. And we appreciate the love. And we're always riding out for Cleveland. And, it's just epic. And I'm glad I had an opportunity to be a part of that.
No question. Well, listen, personally, it's good just to see the three of you once again. And I'm proud of the three of you for what you've done over the last 5 years.
Thank you.
Can I give one last shout out?
I need to follow up too.
Okay. My last shout out is that Channing, myself, and Allie have all gone on and done really successful things in the broadcasting space. And was it something I said, Channing and I and Allie starting the Road Tripping podcast because of the stories and the fun that we had? But without, you know, McLeod, and for him to be there and for him to be gone now, I just want to make sure that, you know, we acknowledge him, because as much as like that was a moment in time in Channing and I's career, it was also at the end of our career. And the next phase of our career that we've been able to have success and have, you know, some attention and be able to continue to grow, a lot of it is because we learned so much from that man. So there was on the court stuff that impacted us in Cleveland, and then there was off the court stuff that impacted us from Cleveland. And his impact on, you know, our career, I can't speak for Allie because they had worked together for years. So I know the impact he had for her over years, over myself and Channing, that short amount of time doing, was it something I said, was like a thing that it just, you know, he helped me become a broadcaster. So when you see me on ESPN, when you see me doing different stuff, a lot of that is because of him and my time in Cleveland. So even my broadcast career is so tied to Cleveland because of him and the organization. So I just want to make sure that we're not just acknowledging the past, but also what it's meant to our future.
That's so well said, Richard. And I think it actually just takes me into this, which, John Michael, you're probably going to be mad at me, but I apologize. But since Fred has passed, you earned that opportunity to sit in that chair. And did I just find out that you just won an Emmy? I am so proud. To Richard's point,
yes,
my relationship with Fred, obviously, in that position in broadcasting, but I also got to work alongside you, J. Mike, on the radio side. for a lot of those postseason coverages. You have one of the most epic, alongside Mike Breen, calls of that Game 7 Finals. I know you work your tail off, and to see and hear that news for you,
Allie's getting emotional.
I found out right before I came on here, and I have it written down to remind myself because I knew we'd have a lot of fun with this. But in your second season, J. Mike, Cleveland's very lucky. You know, they had Fred and they had you and truly.
Hey, the best in the business. So thank you guys.
And Brent as well won an Emmy. I heard.
No, we don't care about Brent. We don't care about Brent.
You guys are awesome.
We don't care about Brent.
Hey, appreciate the kind words, everybody. So good to visit. Take care.
We want to thank the Wagner family of Camus Vineyards for providing us with some of their delicious wines. In addition to Camus Cabernet from Napa Valley, the Wagners made a range of other wines from diverse parts of California. We recommend trying them all. We're really enjoying sipping on them during the podcast, and we're also sending our lucky guests some Camus and other wines made by the family after each show.